Hey guys, DJ here. This is a disclaimer. Applied Materials is a 100% non-profit, fan-made project set within the Orpheus Protocol game system. The Orpheus Protocol is an actual play podcast and tabletop role-playing game system created by Rob Stith and published by Varkalek Press. If you'd like to know more, please check out the main podcast at www.orpheusprotocol.com and patreon.com/orpheusprotocol if you'd like to show more support for the main podcast. Thank you for your time, and please enjoy the following episode.
Beyond the lake, there sits a place of big, strong aspen trees, where flowers bloom and long grass sways amidst the gentle breeze. Beneath the earth, dark secrets lurk, a web of evil spun. All who enter never leave the house of the rising sun. Welcome to an Orpheus Protocol fan server production, starring Ian as Leonard Johnson, Yasmin as Vladimir Vivaldi, and me, DJ, as your host for tonight. House of the Rising Sun contains violence, vivid nightmares, symbols of a malign nature, and an ever-shifting maze of cosmic proportions. Consider this your warning.
It is a warm, kind of blustery sort of Friday morning. The Johnson household is just waking up. And Leonard, this is a day that you've been planning for a good long while. Because this is the day that you have taken leave off of your part-time job to bring your family on a holiday. And by holiday, you mean going camping at a local lake in the National Forest just north of Miami.
Yeah, that's Lenny's shit, man. The vacation to Frankfurt was definitely Susan's idea, Lenny's wife. So I think we said she's like a professor. So
she's a math professor.
Yes. So she was like, you know, she's like a smart person and she wants to go to Frankfurt and learn about history stuff. But Lenny just wants to take the kids somewhere that they don't have a TV and they're all his and he can just make them do activities with him.
Yeah, typical American dad. You have planned the young kids will call it a staycation in a small camp on the shore of Lake Ocala in the Ocala National Forest. This is one of those vacations where you pack your own food, they have running water, potable water there, but food and everything else, toiletries, you have to provide for yourself.
Is there a lake where you can fish?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lakes where you can fish. There's lots of lakes where you can fish.
Would Vlad be able to bring a fishing pole?
I think Lenny's bringing fishing poles for everyone.
Is there anything you'd like to bring along, prepare specifically for this trip before you leave? The trip will be about a week. You've got a whole host of activities planned, things like fishing, going boating on the lake, kind of trekking through the local the forest, kind of hiking along the road. Bring your kids out, campfire, s'mores, sort of thing.
And one thing that we established last time is that Lenny likes to do magic tricks to try to impress his kids. So I think he's learned a bunch of new tricks because he's like, oh fuck, they're not going to be able to ignore me.
I am seeing disaster in our future. I'm going to bring galoshes. Because I have a... Wait, is this in Florida?
Yep, it's in Florida.
Yes.
I'm bringing galoshes. Because it's most likely going to be swamp at some point.
Yeah, I feel like I would just say, in general, Lenny is wildly prepared for this. If that's okay. But I think he's brought a ton of gear and more food than they need and that kind of thing.
He is over... Yeah, you are over prepared.
He is over prepared. He's brought galoshes, he's brought waders, he's brought tarps, everything.
You've got a hiking backpack stuffed full of things. And whereas your wife has a single duffel bag full of clothes and a cooler for the drinks.
So
absolutely.
I pretty much bring like a portable tent, a pair of galoshes, an extra like fishing pole and bait, and like a set of walkie-talkies.
A rather comically oversized pork pie hat with fishing lures attached to it. It's very cheesy.
Yes. Yes, just bright, just fucking deep
bright green
blue pork pie hat.
Yes.
With like multicolored stars for some reason.
And Vlad has bought another one for Lenny, and it's bright green for some reason.
And Lenny almost cries when Vlad gives it to him. It's like a really, really beautiful moment for him.
This is just every Will Ferrell comedy movie ever made.
Look, I didn't really want to leave you out. There's nothing personal about this. It's just that it'd be kind of weird if you didn't have one too.
No, Vlad, it's beautiful. I love it. And he puts it on.
Vladimir is smiling, but he'll die before he admits it.
I wonder what sort of car this Lenny owns. Is it like one of those very cheesy, stereotypical American dad station wagons?
I mean, yeah. If we want to just keep playing into every like dad cliche, then he has a hatchback station wagon with like, you know, wood grain paneling on the sides.
Oh my god, I'm imagining the fucking station wagon from National Lampoon.
And it has one of those like it has like a roof rack with like a big container for all the camping
this
supplies
thing.
On top.
Oh my god! Yeah,
it's that this with thing. A big roof rack on top.
I'm also reminded of that one clip from Dexter's Lab with Dexter's dad. Saturdays and time for dad. And
oh
dad's
god.
Car.
Final detail
oh
about
god.
The car. It has one of those Star Wars bumper stickers. It's like one of those bumper stickers with the family, except it's the Star Wars characters.
Oh god, it's the stick figure family, except Star Wars
the
characters.
The stick figure family, but Star Wars characters. I've seen that many times, and Lenny has it, by golly.
Well, we had a moment, Mr. Johnson, and it is now dead. It's dead now.
Oh my god, I'm going to have to find some stupid music for this. Edit it. Wonderful. Okay, yeah. So you pack up your things and you take the couple hour drive up the east coast of Florida. There's a big highway that leads up towards the Ocala National Forest. You actually go through Orlando before you get to the forest proper. It takes you a couple hours, but eventually you ruck up to Camp Ocala. And what greets you? You're not quite sure that this camp is supposed to be this rundown, but like it's not as rundown as you thought it was. But it still could use a little bit of work. Like
so it actually looks better than I thought it would look.
Yeah, it looks better. It looks better than you thought it would look. But at the same time, it's still pretty rundown. Yeah, it looks pretty old. So the campsite that you go to it's mostly dirt. There is no parking lot, so in the center is like a little roundabout, a small roundabout in front of the cabin itself, where you can see there are remnants of a campfire from way long ago. It's like a stone circle with a bunch of charcoal and ashes in the center, and you can see as you turn in that there are other car tracks here, probably from the dirt that have been probably from ages past, other families have been here camping and stuff like that. The cabin itself is pretty big. It is a very traditional log cabin, but with more modern furnishings. You can see that the from the outside, you can see that the living area is one of those open concept kind of things where there's a big living room. There's a patio deck overlooking the lake, separated by a wall, obviously. And the living room is also the same place where the dining room and the kitchen are. It's very open concept. And then there is a hallway that leads into what you assume are like bedrooms and stuff. That's what you can see from the outside as you pull into this. As you pull in on the dirt road towards the camp.
Well, it looks pretty good, guys, doesn't it?
I'd say that's a matter of perspective, but sure.
It looks old, like someone hasn't been here in the last like few weeks or few months even. But because this is a known campsite, you can tell that people have been by to just like, you know, do a bit of light dusting, make sure all the locks are working, replenish some supplies and stuff like that.
Well, at least we can pretend it's not Florida.
This cabin's not going to be air conditioned.
Great! Nope. So, hell. And then we'll also be smelling like ass every day. Cool! Great! Great plan, Mr. Johnson!
Hey, it's called camping, and also watch your language, Vlad.
Charlie, like, looks up from the backseat. What? And then you immediately hear the sound of a hand clapping over his mouth as you look behind, look behind you, and you see your wife just sort of cover your son's mouth, like, and Susan kind of glares at Vlad.
It's not even a curse! We all have one!
We can discuss that later when we're not in front of the kids, Vlad.
Yeah, sure. So I just kind of just put my headphones back on and just starts blasting music.
I mean, you guys are at the campsite already, so.
Yeah, so I think this is the conversation, like, as they stopped. So Lenny kind of gets out and starts unloading the car into the cabin.
Yeah, I pretty much grab, I guess, the stuff nearest to me and help him pack.
That's like coolers.
Unpack, so coolers.
Double bags.
Suitcases, whatnot.
Yep.
We can leave the kayaks up there for now.
Big long bags for your fishing poles as well.
So I pretty much just dump everything in the living room area. Fit, hunt, like, search around for my fishing rod and bait and pretty much just go, whoop!
That's my job done.
I'm gonna go find a lake.
As you say, I'm going to go find a lake. Lenny looks out the window and says, well, shouldn't be too hard.
And yes, there is the lake, like 5 minutes
walk. Line of sight, and there's, like, the lake isn't even like 100 yards away. Oh.
It's like 5 minutes walk.
Oh, well, that makes that easier. Later.
Yeah, Lenny, you see this. You see Vlad just get on his fishing gear. He looks very comical. Big pork pie hat, overalls, galoshes, whole 9 yards. And how old is Vlad again? He's 18?
19.
As Vlad starts putting on his fishing gear, Lenny, not knowing that Vlad is probably going to be upset about this at all, turns to Charlie and says, hey, you want to go fishing with Vlad? I'm sure Charlie is very excited about that idea.
If this were a cartoon, you would see Charlie's eyes go why?
And Lenny takes off the neon green bucket hat that Vlad gave him and puts it on Charlie, and then just sort of gives him a pat on the back to like push him towards Vlad.
It's very comically oversized. The hat was made for your head, not made for your son's head, so it just kind of like flops, covers his eyes.
I just stare dead eyed at Lenny. Oh yes, it's exactly what I needed for my vacation. To continue to be tormented by children.
Listen, I mean, I'm, you know, you're still kind of on the job right now, right?
No! No, I'm not! When was this established? Vacation is vacation! Work is work!
I mean, me and my family are on vacation, but, like, you're kind of here to help with my son. It's not that I don't want you here, it's just I still need you to be helping out.
Yeah, let's go, Charlie. I'll show you how to, I guess.
Charlie hops in place again. Is very excited as he tags along with Vlad as you head towards the lake. Meanwhile, Lenny, you are still busy unpacking with your wife and daughter in tow.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like Lenny is probably trying to do most of the work to like let them start chilling. And also trying to get it done as fast as he humanly can so that he can get to the vacation.
Yeah, so now that you're inside the cabin, you can see that this open concept living room / dining room / kitchen thing really is quite open and big. Like, it's, if you had to compare it to your house in Miami, it's probably like the size of like half your house.
Oh, damn. So it's not a small cabin.
You know, it's pretty big.
How much are we paying for this place?
Psst, our
Orpheus. Oh, Orpheus paid for the vacation. I see.
They were really generous. Orpheus prizes their analysts very much so. And when you left the organization, they gave you a very, 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 very generous severance package, which included, you know, if you ever needed to go on a holiday while you're also lugging around an active Orpheus agent, yeah, they'll pay for it. You don't really have to explain to your wife where the expenses go, but...
Was this place my idea, or did they say, like, oh, here's one of the places we can pay for?
Oh, no, this was your idea.
Okay, just like, good! I was Orpheus, about to be like, Orpheus is just oh, like, no, it's a fucking blood ritual, we're being sacrificed!
Okay. No, Orpheus was more like, oh, you're going here? Okay, here's some money, go have fun.
That's cool. Okay, so yeah. Yeah, Lenny sort of looks around and whistles and kind of looks at his wife and his daughter expectantly, like he wants them to be impressed by this place.
Oh, Kim looks very impressed. Susan does not.
Yeah, that makes sense. I assume it doesn't take us too long to finish unpacking, but like what time is it when we finish unpacking?
You left pretty early in the morning, I would say like around 8:30-ish a.m. The drive took about 4.5 hours, 5 maybe if you account for traffic. So by the time you get here, it's actually around about...
Charlie was probably like losing his mind by the end of the drive.
Yeah. I gather you would probably have stopped a few times along the way.
Yeah.
To do things like, you know, potty break, stretch your legs.
Mostly
like that,
potty breaks.
Yep. Charlie is just full of energy as you watch Kim and Vlad leave for the lake.
Ask me every question ever about fishing.
In whatever broken, stilted English a 6-year-old has.
English he knows. And I'm just like, okay, so too many questions. How about I just show you how to bait the hook? He's like, oh, cool. Can we actually use live worms? Do you have to use fake ones? And I'm just like, so I look at my bait package, which is essentially like fish meal balls, and I'm like, well, the can says fish meal, so I guess we're using fish meal. Yay!
Yeah, and this is, oh, you hear all of this slowly fading into the distance as mm-hmm. Vlad and Charlie sort of trudge their way towards the lake. Susan is busy putting some egg salad sandwiches into the fridge and is also taking out like actual food to make a rather light lunch. It's probably something like even more sandwiches and maybe a salad.
Yes.
While you're in this cabin, you can now see that the hallway that leads into the actual other rooms, you do a bit of exploring and you find that there are plenty bedrooms enough for everyone. A huge, well, not really huge, but a two-person bedroom that you would reasonably assume that this would be for you yourself and your wife. There is another, and there are two other smaller bedrooms with two beds each. And you quickly assess these and determine that, well, one room can be for Vlad and Charlie, and then the other room can be just for Kim because, you know, little lady needs her privacy.
Nice. Okay.
And they're all next to each other. So it's like this one is like a straight hallway. Your bedroom is at the end of the hallway. And then the other two bedrooms are pretty much one on the left and one on the right, along with a two bathrooms and a storage closet.
Nice. Okay. Is this like, what is the light in the cabin like? Is it kind of, are there lots of windows or is it kind of claustrophobic or like, what is it like?
Every room has a window. Okay. It's quite well ventilated. Like you can feel natural airflow through the cabin. The main living area itself is also pretty, like I said, it's open concept. So a lot of it is windows and logs. The door leads out. There's a door that leads out to the patio deck where there is a table and a few chairs and a picnic umbrella, which is closed. There's also a fireplace, but upon further inspection, you don't think it's been used in quite some time, considering that you are A, in Florida. Me, you're in Florida.
But does it seem like you could use the fireplace?
Oh, you could. Yeah, it's a functional fireplace.
I think Lenny's going to try and get everyone to gather around the fire and make s'mores no matter how hot it is.
Oh, God. Indoors.
Indoors. It's going to be so hot.
It is just... this is a tragedy. Oh, God. Meanwhile, at the lake...
It isn't long before you hear Vlad, you hear Susan's voice calling from the cabin. Hey, boys, lunch is ready. And you turn around and you see that she's holding a big platter full of sandwiches.
Ah, damn. Guess we couldn't actually do it after all. And then Charlie's like, oh, you said a curse!
I mean, she's offering to bring you the sandwiches, or someone else in the house could bring you sandwiches.
Ah, no, don't worry, Mrs. Johnson. We'll just come get them. And so we just, I guess we sit down the fishing rod. And we just start walking towards Susan to just grab the sandwiches.
Hey, Vlad, roll awareness.
Okay, so I got a 6, a 3, and a 2.
So that would be, that would round out, that is a positive, a flat, and a negative, which in total is a flat.
So I guess I add that to the perception.
Yep.
So
your perception is a 2?
Yeah, I'll just keep it at the 2.
Okay. The wind is very nice. Actually, quite cool out here compared to in the city. It's not as hot as you thought it was. It's still pretty muggy, like humid, but with the wind, you don't feel that it's as bad as it could be. Yeah, it's not as bad as it could be.
Yeah, the wind helps.
Yeah, you make your way back to the cabin. Lunch is light. It's ham and grilled ham and cheese sandwich with freshly prepared
simple salad. Susan, you are a goddess.
We're going to speed through a bit of time here. The rest of the day passes pretty normally. Leonard, you probably, over the next few hours, you probably join Vlad on the shore of the lake to do some fishing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, skip some rocks.
I probably try to make Kim and Susan come along to fish as well.
Susan has brought along a lawn chair. She has a book.
She has like a stack of books.
Oh, yes, but she's brought one to read with her.
Me and Charlie try and explain to Lenny how we were trying to like charm fish, and he just kind of gives us this like bemused expression, but just ruffles
like,
our heads.
I think Lenny would have no idea whether or not that would work or whether or not that would be a good thing or a bad thing, so he just kind of chuckles.
And the DM is also hoping that you're not carrying out this conversation within earshot of your wife, who is a normal person.
No, probably not.
I mean, she's I guess far enough away to where she wouldn't hear us. And Vlad,
I mean,
and,
yeah, she's pretty much aware. She's pretty much aware of all this stuff, but she would probably be mad about like Charlie using his powers.
Are you bringing
in
it
a
work
weird,
again?
Trivial way.
Yeah, like I'm at like Vlad's actually speaking low enough to where she would probably only hear like snatches of the conversation.
And then when you hear her footsteps coming up behind you, like, okay,
just like, oh hey, yeah, like, what are you talking about? Oh yeah, I was teaching Charlie how to fish. Yeah, we was doing Vlad's like,
as soon as Charlie says anything about using his powers, like Vlad, you just like clap a hand over his mouth, like, no, I'm gonna say anything. He didn't say anything.
Clap very loudly.
So night falls. As the sun starts setting, Leonard and Vlad, I would like both of you to roll luck.
Ooh, I just rolled a minus one.
I got 6, 6, and 4.
Wow, that is a plus 2. Vlad, you've caught a fish.
Lenny is internally very jealous that Vlad caught a fish in front of his son and he didn't, but he totally stifles it.
Leonard, you caught a boot.
Damn it. Oh yeah, Lenny stifles down his jealousy as hard as he can.
Yeah, Vlad, you come away from this little fishing excursion with richer in wealth by one fish, while Leonard gets a shoe. It is a sneak. It is like an old 2000 Converse sneaker.
Wait, he literally caught a shoe?
Yes, he did. He rolled a minus one in his luck check, man.
Vlad tries to stifle a laugh and fails.
Yeah, you do so poorly. Charlie's hot scampering around your feet like, we got a fish, we got a fish, we got a fish. Susan kind of stops you and goes like, wait, hold on. Leonard, stand next to Vlad. I need to take a picture. And she takes out her smartphone.
Yeah, we get a picture of the three of us with the big, big fish.
I
holds up the shoe hanging from his fishing pole.
Yeah, I adjust my hat and just give a victory sign.
Yep, she snaps the picture and then goes, oh, you're also you together. Let's come on back. I'll bake us up some dinner.
Yay!
That sounds good.
And now what's your vigilance set at?
My vigilance is gonna be pretty good because I have a 5 awareness.
Yeah, it's gonna be real good. You can actually make an active roll if you want to boost that.
Yeah, I mean, since I have a 5 awareness, I have 3 temp strain every scene. So my vigilance is always going to be a +3.
Yep.
And then I can take an active roll or a +1 or a +2.
Oh, it's a +5?
So let me... Yeah, it's essentially always a +5 unless I roll a +3. Then it's a +6.
Yep.
Lenny is very vigilant.
I don't think I have anything that boosts my vigilance.
I'm looking at your sheet right now, Vlad. Your vigilance is at a 2. Normally, you'd be able to roll with awareness, with perception for this, if I am not mistaken.
Okay, so I got a 6, a 5, and a 5.
Oh my god, that's another +3.
Holy shit.
So your vigilance is at a... With an active roll, your vigilance is at a 5, I think. Yeah. Vlad, you don't really hear anything. It is, the sun is just setting. It is actually got a pretty nice reflection on the surface of the lake as the trees on the other side of the lake sort of swallow up the sun as it sets. Leonard, however, as the lot of you are trudging back towards the cabin, as a breeze blows by you, you can very faintly, almost as if it's tickling the back of your mind, it sounds like the wind is speaking into your ear. The words are garbled, unintelligible, sounds like someone is whispering something to you, but at the same time you're sort of making random syllable noises with your mouth.
Oh lord.
And as quick as that feeling appears, like it's there for just a moment and then it disappears.
Do I have to make a horror check?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Let me roll this up. Oh, that's a -1.
Oh, no.
I'm going to take my reroll.
Which skill are you using, by the way?
I'm using my 4 discipline. So I really don't want to fail. Oh, it's a -2.
No. Oh, jeez.
I'm going to take my +1 for the scene for having for having 4 discipline. So that's going to be a 6, which is actually probably unnecessary. I'm just going to keep the initial -1 for a 4.
Thankfully, you pass, standing to lose 3 sanity.
Okay.
This is highly unnatural. This is on the first day of your goddamn vacation.
Yeah, and we've also established that Lenny has essentially the only sort of unnatural stuff he's ever experienced is the pathokinetic powers of Vlad and his son and the ghosts on the plane. So he's not someone who is used to this by any stretch. I'm gonna spend mental strain to reduce that to 0.
Yeah, even when you were working for Orpheus, you didn't really get in touch with a lot of the weird stuff. You're probably actually one of the more mundane Orpheus employees.
I would have seen records of weird stuff because they probably had me like breaking into computers that they recovered from cults and shit like that. So I might know about weird stuff, but I haven't experienced it myself at all.
Yeah, you definitely know a lot about cults.
Knowledge occult.
Yeah, as well as the natural things that happen in our world. Mm-hmm. Even though most of what you've experienced is in the form of words or text on screens.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like Lenny is going to sort of batten himself down as best as he can and not show any reaction to that, and actually kind of start trying to tell himself that it didn't really happen and he's probably just hearing the wind in the trees and feeling paranoid, and he's just paying too much attention and hearing things that aren't there.
Yeah, you batten it down. You batten it down hard.
Would I be able to pick up on Lenny's, like, spike of emotion?
Yeah, roll empathy.
I got 6, 5, and 1.
So that is a total plus 1.
Okay, so I guess I'll spend 1 spiritual strain to push it up to a plus 2.
So you get a 6, if I'm not wrong. Leonard, are you resisting?
No, like, I think Lenny is definitely going to be spending the 1 strain that he can to, like, he's doing his very best to not show his reaction. But Lenny's the kind of guy who just, like, he's easily startled, and he has big reactions when he is startled. So when that happened, he probably just, like, jumped a bit and then immediately made a very obvious sort of show of straightening himself up. So he definitely spends the strain, but it's totally useless.
Yeah.
Because my final result's going to be a 2.
Yeah, so Vlad, you see Leonard, as the two of you are walking back towards the cabin, you actually see him start a little bit. Like, he might have, like, tripped over something, like a branch or a root or a tree root. He clears his throat, straightens his back, and then continues walking. But you can, with your keen senses, tuned to human emotion, you actually, you briefly enter a state of your very familiar hyperfocus in your abilities to influence human emotion. You're able to tell that you can see that his pupils are constricted, like a fear response. And his eyes are also darting to and fro quite a bit. As soon as he got startled about from something, his body language reads as tense, but I am trying not to be tense in the company of family and stuff.
Okay, so, like, when we get back to the cabin, I just kind of go, oh, hey, Lenny, I need you to help me set up my stuff in my room real quick.
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely. And I think Lenny kind of knows that you're just looking for an excuse to talk to him, because you definitely wouldn't want him to be coming into your room usually. Lenny has okay empathy, so he can kind of tell when there's something going on. So he follows you into the room.
Okay. Yeah, Susan kind of goes, yeah, just be out in time for dinner, honey.
Shouldn't take long.
And then she placates the kids with a board game and then gets to work in the kitchen.
Nice.
Yeah, the two of you enter Vlad's room.
Yeah, so you sensed something out there. What was it?
I mean, I didn't sense something. I'm not like you and Charlie. I don't know. I heard something. It was like someone whispering in my ear, but I couldn't tell what they were saying. And then it was just gone. There was no one there.
Like, could you tell if it was coming from any direction? Or was it just...
It was in my ear. Like, right there. I know I heard it. I know I heard it. I can't convince myself that I didn't, but I don't know. It wasn't really there.
Dude, my abilities allow me to not sense, but, like, would I be able to detect if there was, like...
A ghost?
Yes.
No, I think, like, pathokinetics additional senses are just about, like, people's
emotions. Yeah, pathokinetics are about emotions, body language, and influencing other people's emotions and mental states. So you wouldn't really be able to sense ghosts or spiritual presences unless you were specifically trained to do so, or if you had the natural aptitude to do so as well.
So I wouldn't be able to sense emotions if it was from something that wasn't alive.
Yeah, or what Jonah said, yeah, you could technically be able to also, like, suddenly feel, like, undercurrents of emotional energy. But you wouldn't be able to sense, like, where they are or what they're doing and stuff like that. You'd be able to sense their emotions and their emotional state, but you wouldn't be able to see them or sense them.
So I'd only be able to influence them if I already knew they were there.
Yep. And you might want to avoid taking Unity with a ghost.
For now, we'll just chalk it up to the wind sounded weird. I can't really check to see if there's anything more to it, so I guess for now we just...
Just keep your eyes out for anything else, like, you know, like what happened the day we met.
Yeah, I can't really do anything about spirits unless I actually know they're there, though.
I know you don't have powers like that guy on the plane, but, I mean, neither do I, and I could hear it, so... If it talks to you, then let me know, okay?
The two of you briefly remember the third guy on your flight, Caspian. He was a powerful medium.
He was a very powerful medium.
And Lenny, you briefly lament the fact that this man isn't here with you right now.
Yeah, so, like, why couldn't Orpheus have given me two babysitters?
I mean,
or not for our homie Caspian.
I mean, would Leonard have read up on Caspian if during the downtime in between after the flight and now?
I don't know if Lenny would just have access to like personnel files.
I feel like Vladimir would have probably tried to get info on him just because he was interested in his abilities and what he was able to
Ironically, I actually think Vlad might have more access to that kind of stuff than Lenny, because Vlad is almost a field agent. Vlad's like an agent in training. Lenny's a retired agent. Not even a retired agent, a retired analyst.
Yeah, Vlad, like, is roll luck, please? Just to see if you remember anything about the other third slightly kind of ruggedly handsome man that was on your flight that banished all the ghosts.
I got a 6, a 1, and a 1.
Ooh, so that is a minus 1. Other than basic information, you don't really know much about Caspian Smith III. At least that's what the name was on the dossier that you were given when you were requesting information about that man. Yeah, Caspian lives in LA. He attends the Church of Scientology. And he also works, his day job is as a Hollywood talent agent. Pretty low, pretty mid-level, but it's what his position has gotten him. And that is, other than him also being a kind of pretty famous psychic medium, you don't really know much about him.
Yeah, that sounds about Vlad.
Anyways, so where were we? We were just at, like, Lenny just said, like, you know, let me know if you see anything. I know you can't sense anything like Caspian could.
Like, I'm trying it. But yeah, I'll keep an eye out. We should probably go head back to the living room. Susan gets worried.
Yeah, we don't want to freak anyone out over... It could be nothing, like I said.
Yep. Dinner passes. I'm going to take your earlier vigilance scores, Leonard of 9 and Vlad of 5. Vlad, as you finish up your dinner of beans and
dinner
more
beans. Beans.
as you place your plate into the sink in the kitchen, you hear a tap, tap of something against the window behind you. And as you turn around to look at the window, you can see that there is a long scratch mark that is actively drawing itself across the glass of the window towards the door.
This has been House of the Rising Sun, an Orpheus Protocol fan server production. Thank you to Ian for playing Leonard and Yasmin for playing Vladimir. And I will see you in the next episode. Good night. Leonard and Vlad deal with the implications of the strange occurrences they've witnessed thus far. They try not to let it affect them as the second day of their vacation rolls around. But the cabin has much more in store for the family and their babysitter. Next time on House of the Rising Sun.